So some may feel the USDA aftermath does continue a little bit on the trade opportunities we're seeing midweek. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and Sean Hackett joins us today with Hackett Financial Advisors. So let's talk about this aftermath trade continuing. You know, usually when we get a USDA report, it doesn't linger on as many days as this one seems to have.
Well, it was such a shock on the corn number, especially. It was such a shock. It was two orders of magnitude greater statistical shock than you typically see in a USDA report. And so it caught the market sideways. And obviously we had negative reports, obviously, for wheat and soybeans. I'm not so sure those numbers were as big a surprise. I think the corn number was the leading surprise number, and then it just dragged everything else with it. Having said all of that, it sure seems to me, if you haven't sold as a speculator, if you haven't sold, if you haven't sold the last couple of days on that kind of information, you're probably not going to sell for a while. I mean, I think this might be an important low that we place at least for the first half of the growing season until we can better ascertain second crop corn production in Brazil and obviously get a better handle on what might be our North American, growing season, post-dormancy winter wheat. There's some serious cold coming in to Russia, Ukraine next week, minus 20 degrees. I just think there's factors that might start taking supply away from what we put on Monday.
Well, I had read, too, when you talk about these corn numbers that were shared with us from the USDA, that corn silage was a big factor that weighed in as well.
Well, that's how they got the extra, more harvest acres than everyone thought, is they switched a lot of silage to actually harvested corn acres versus silage acres. And, most of the, what I would say, well-informed clients that I've dealt with for decades think that exactly the opposite is what should have happened, that more of the acres should have gone to silage and less to harvested acres. And yet, of course, the USDA does exactly the opposite of what, many pretty well-thought people on the ground that's been doing this for a long time feel should have been the case. It's hard to get your hands around the numbers. It just seems to me that the USDA has made a mistake here for whatever reason. They were going to have to spend the next 3 to 6 months through dropping quarterly grain stocks in the March and June reports, increasing demand. I think they're going to have to do some adjustments to get the number right, because I just don't believe and see that what they came out with on Monday is tied to the reality that I think I and many feel pretty clear is the true picture on the ground.
Well, you alluded a little bit, Sean, to some weather concerns. Obviously, you talked about what's happening in Russia, Ukraine, with this cold snap coming through. What are we seeing from the south? Because there's been some spotty rains, but there's still some dry areas that are a concern for Argentina and Brazil.
Yeah, I mean, the way we're framing it, Susan, is that it looks to us that February is going to be the month where the dryness starts to expand beyond 50% of the Argentine growing area for both corn and soybeans. And the heat is going to start to come in. And I think that the market, at least for corn, we're very comfortable that Brazil has a pretty good crop that they're going to start harvesting here in February. But on the corn side, that could be something that catches the market, gets some short covering coming into the market, and maybe need to dial back expectations for corn production in Argentina. And like I said, start peeling some of the supply back that the USDA put on and start to trade something a little different than the hard down market we saw on Monday.
Let's look at the livestock side of it. Do you see them taking advantage maybe of these lower price opportunities with grains?
I certainly think in the corn situation, I feel the soybean number is correct. I think the USDA did get that correct. I don't see any issue with the wheat numbers, but I do think on the corn numbers, I think the market is, the USDA has gotten the numbers wrong. The market reacted in the wrong direction and is offering, I think, a short-term window for physical buyers, like in the livestock sector or in the ethanol sector, to get some cheap corn in quantities, before we start peeling away some supply as we go along. And so I do think there's an opportunity, and we are suggesting that those on the corn cash buying side of the equation take advantage of this.
I wanted to get your thoughts, too, because, you know, we were much anticipated waiting for comments to come on tariffs from the Supreme Court. Second time in a row, nothing's been said. So it kind of makes you wonder, is this even going to be a big issue with them?
Well, it's either that the ruling that they're gonna, that they want to say is uncomfortable, meaning they may be concerned that, let's just say that they've decided that they're going to rule against the tariffs. I don't know if that's what they've decided, but let's assume that that's what they've decided. The delays may be them just behind closed doors, maybe trying to find solutions of what can be done to mitigate the downfall or the outfall from all of this, because to unwind tariffs, to send monies back, yeah, it'd be chaotic, Susan, for a while. And I think they may be very understanding or worried about the market reaction, the country's reaction, and what the damage might be if there isn't a solution that's put in place or ready to be put in place if these tariffs are removed. And that might be why they're kicking the can down, because maybe they don't feel that there's the right strategy in place to unwind some of these tariffs or all of these tariffs if that's in fact their ruling. It's the only thing I can think of as to why they would, you know, come in and mention what the ruling is, because obviously if they were ruling in favor of the tariffs are legal, then why would they delay? That's my speculation, Susan, and I think that might be why they're dragging their feet and trying to buy time so that the powers that be can kind of figure out, what do we do here if we have to shift gears, and what does it mean to markets? What does it mean geopolitically and such forth and so on?
All right. Sounds good. Sean Hackett joining us today as we break down the market trade action. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Wednesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.